Welcome, everybody, to the Locked On Lakers podcast brought to you by RockAuto.com. RockAuto.com, amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. I'm Anthony Irwin. I'm joined by Pete Zayas of the Los Angeles Lakers. Pete.
Are you going to do this every show now?
Why wouldn't I?
That's the first time I've heard that out loud. I'm not going to lie. That was...
Second
time. When was the first time?
Did you do it last time? I did it.
Oh, I wasn't paying attention. Shit. Wow.
I'm going to do it. Yeah, now I am going to do it every time. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm sorry. I'm usually like responding to a text message when you're doing the intro to the show, right? Like I've heard it, you know, I know your spiel at the beginning. So I've got 5 seconds until I have to pay attention.
Well, hey, I like to start the show with a joke, and I'm hoping you can relay this to your dad because he's a Knicks fan, right? Or no, he's a Lakers fan, but he's from New York.
Right.
Okay. Well, just let him know or let his friends know back in New York that the NBA is literally giving out rings right now, and the Knicks are not going to get one this season.
Yes. I will pass word along.
Yeah, cool.
Kind of fell apart when he wasn't a Knicks fan. Yeah,
I know. It did. Yeah,
sorry.
if he was actually a Knicks fan, I would have actually like asked for, hey,
Mr. Yeah, Zayas. I could have talked a little shit. Yeah. Hey,
no, Mr. Zayas, no. the other Mr. Zayas, can we just borrow you for 2 seconds? All right. Today's show, look, this stuff is still kind of evolving. There's an aspect of this story that I kind of find interesting here in what it might mean for the conversation surrounding guys going or not going to Orlando. We're heading into the weekend and by the time we're listening to this, we're probably going to get some, or by the time you guys are listening to this, we're probably going to get some kind of Friday news dump. That's how they've been handling all the information here. So we'll see how this goes, but I kind of wanted to start here because it reminded me of yesterday's conversation. And so this is a headline here, from Variety. AMC Theater CEO Adam Aaron says their cinemas won't require masks upon reopening because they, quote, didn't want to be drawn into a political controversy, end quote. Mm-hmm. What the, what?
So we're in crazy town, man. Like just the whole approach to all of this is bonkers compared to the rest of the world. And I just like, oh man, if you ever get a chance, not just you, but just anybody listening.
Yeah.
If you ever get a chance to travel internationally, I would highly recommend it as just part of the human experience, right? Mm-hmm. And the reason I say that, I never got a chance to do that until last summer. And
I got arrested.
Yeah. Yeah. That's a whole nother. But I didn't even do anything, by the way. Where was I? Yes. Traveling abroad, if you ever get a chance, it's a great part of the human experience. Because like the thing that I noticed from traveling abroad, one, almost everyone speaks English to some degree, mm-hmm. right? In the cities, right? In the places where tourists are, you know, they'll speak English. And to every place I went, I got the overwhelming sense that they think we are so freaking weird, mm-hmm. that we are like from another planet in terms of what we value and just how we think. And it was really educational from that perspective of like, oh, they think we're fucking crazy and yeah. Probably right. And
in this regard, man,
yeah, no, this is one of those things. That was the whole point of that is just like, we're the only country. Like, what are we doing, man?
Well, but that again, you know, cause so I tweeted out, pardon the language here, but I quote tweeted that with, we live in the dumbest fucking country. Wearing a mask can't possibly be controversial. Right. And the first response to it was, good thing about this country is that if it makes you uncomfortable, you can just stay home. Dot, 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 dot. It's science. You can't say it's science if the response to, hey, this can't be controversial, science can't be controversial, can't be, it's science. Like it's right. It's not science. What you're saying, there isn't science. It's just you not wanting to smell your own breath for the couple hours that you're watching a movie. Like that's what it is. Mm-hmm. And you know, it kind of goes back to the conversation we were having yesterday where, like, you're right. There other countries around the world are looking at us like they can't possibly actually value freedom over lives. That can't, they can't honestly feel that
way.
Wait
a second.
No. Cause this is what
that's
it is.
Not
right?
That's not what it is. It's incompetence, man. Like we weren't prepared for this. It's well, not that just, too. There's and so it's already here, right? And it, to the degree that it is because there was no preparation made for it or very, very little preparation made for it. And so now it's this weird in-between place, right? Where the economy has been shut down or slowed down for several months now, and we still don't have it under control. And now those pressures that you were talking about with the financial pressures, right? From yesterday's show with the NBA owners and things like that, those pressures are now being put upon everybody. So it's not just a financial, or freedom thing. It's a matter of what we valued and being competent, right? Like that's the thing that kills me about this is just like, it's not, if it was competent and geared toward freedom, hey, I might actually support it, right? But this is like this whole, the way it's been addressed from the beginning is just not competent.
Yeah. I want to come back to that. So let's take a quick second. When we come back, the point that I'm trying to make, maybe I didn't make it very well a second ago. I'm going to make it hopefully better this time around.
The Locked On Podcast Network stands against racism and social injustice. That's why we, the hosts, are making personal donations to local and national organizations that are fighting for change. And in the month of June, Locked On is matching the total of all host donations up to an additional $10,000. To make your own donation along with us, please visit lockedonpodcast.com/Black Lives Matter. Today's show is also brought to you in part by RockAuto.com. RockAuto.com is a family business. They've served auto parts customers online for 20 years. Go to RockAuto.com to shop for auto and body parts from hundreds of manufacturers. They have everything from engine control modules and brake parts to tail lamps, motor oil, and even new carpet. Whether it's for your classic or daily driver, get everything you need in a few easy clicks delivered directly to your door. I myself am not a daily driver. I almost never drive, and that has its own set of problems. Your car is not supposed to sit idle for as long as my car tends to, and as a result, I've had to make a couple purchases here. My brake pads needed a little bit of work. I tried doing them myself, or I'm going to try doing them myself. We'll see how it goes, but I went through rockauto.com. I checked out their interface. It's great. It's really easy. It's straightforward to use. The rockauto.com catalog is unique and remarkably easy to navigate. Quickly see all the parts available for your vehicle and choose the brand, specs, and prices you prefer. Best of all, prices at rockauto.com are always reliably low and the same for professionals and do-it-yourselfers alike. Why spend up to twice as much for the same exact parts? So head on over to rockauto.com and see right now all the parts available for your vehicle. Write Locked On in their How Did You Hear About Us box so that we know sent you. Rockauto.com, amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need.
So I guess my point here isn't so much like, so I brought it back to freedom, right? And the reason this is this like wearing a theater where you're going to have people indoors for hours on end, right? Like just imagine how awkward it's going to be every time, because during a movie, during all those like kind of quieter parts, right? Somebody always coughs. That always happens. I'm going to freak the hell out. Mm-hmm. Sure. But anywho, the reason I'm bringing up like the way the rest of the world kind of looks at us is the only reason this is seen as controversial is because there's a faction of our country who thinks that being asked to wear a mask is an infringement upon their constitutional rights, which it isn't. Like mm-hmm. that's just us asking you to sacrifice just a little bit for your fellow sure. American. That's all it is. Sure. And there's albeit a very vocal minority, I think the people who really honestly feel this way are vastly outnumbered. But here they're influencing the approach to keeping everybody safe that a pretty large company that is in serious trouble is in, right? Is going to use And that's where I have been the most frustrated here, is because culturally in this country, so the same people who will go on Facebook and say they will die for this country and they will do everything for this country and America and two-time World War champion, like all that stuff, right? It like that, those same people are going to be, are the same people who make wearing a mask controversial, right? The mm-hmm. And like that's where I just get really frustrated at the hypocrisy that is so evident there, and because of that, people aren't going to be as safe when they go to the theater to watch a movie, because some idiots out there who just like, nah, you know what, I don't want to wear a mask, and therefore I'm going to cry constitutional rights when it's mentioned nowhere in the Constitution that you can't be forced to wear a mask. Like it's not there anywhere. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I mean, I got nothing to argue with you on that, man. Like, yeah, it'd be nice. It'd be nice.
The reason I brought that up is, we're in the second segment of the show, which means I kind of screwed up at the very top of it. Yesterday, I had mentioned that Avery Bradley has been relatively quiet, especially compared to Dwight Howard, in that I said he hasn't really made a statement, but he actually did. And I want to clear that up, because more than anything here, I think the parties at the center of all this, have to be able to speak for themselves, right? So I'm reading from ESPN, quote, regardless of how much media coverage will be received, talking and raising awareness about social injustice isn't enough, Bradley told ESPN. Are we that self-centered to believe that no one in the world is aware of racism right now? That, as athletes, we solve the real issues by using our platforms to speak. He continues, we don't need to say more. We need to find a way to achieve more. Protesting during an anthem, wearing t-shirts is great, but we need to see real actions being put into the works. And, you know, to that point, the Lakers today announced the hiring of a position here that they created, right? Directly in response to how everything has gone down, they hired a director of racial equality in action. And you know, it's a small step, and it feels kind of ceremonious, but still, it's a step that at least one team, and specifically Avery Bradley's team, is taking in response to what he is demanding here, right? Those I Can't Breathe shirts were nice, and they produced some good pictures, and maybe they helped continue that conversation a little bit. But at the end of the day, we're still in that spot where we needed all this protesting to get to this point. And, you know, the person that the Lakers hired here was Dr. Karita Brown. And again, it's the director of racial equality in action. And when you actually hear Avery Bradley's point, quite frankly, I don't really know what there is to argue about.
I don't either. You know, like it's something where we, again, though, this is the time where we need to listen and find the common ground. This is just like there was in yesterday's show, is that both things are true and both mm-hmm. sides of the story are true. So I think that's, you know, the point that we're at. But from your perspective, what I'd like to hear you dive deeper into, like, Avery Bradley's point of view, because it seems to have, you know, hit home for you.
Well, so I think we can't say that the NBA is going to have this incredible platform that they've never really had before, that maybe no sport has ever had, right? This idea mm-hmm. that they're going to go out there and play at a time where no other major sports are going to be running right now, especially mm-hmm. so watching baseball continue to stumble on itself, right? It really looks like it's going to be basketball, and only basketball, that is going to be the free sports, right? Because you could watch MMA, but you have to pay for those fights. So basketball is going to be the only major sport that you're going to be able to watch for free. And it's going to have a ton of attention on it because of that. And while it's easy to, you know, the cop out here is to say, well, that right there is exactly why the NBA should go back, right? Because that would give them the opportunity to continue their efforts and have players kind of speak up in against the racial inequality and the police brutality that has plagued this country for decades. That said, you have to, it has to be more than that, right? Otherwise, you may as well not be playing because you aren't really using your platform there. You aren't really fully taking advantage of the platform that you have. And, you know, I talked about this with Sabrina in the Silver Screen and Roll pod that we did yesterday, or whenever we did it. And you know, some of the stuff that came up in that conversation in terms of actual action that the NBA can take part in here, that to me, the examples of that really are what are important right now. So we're going to take a quick second. When we come back, I'll try to remember some of what those were, and then you and I can talk about them. Today's show is brought to you in part by Built Bar. You heard me talk earlier about what we as a company and as a network are doing to support the Black Lives Matter movement. In yesterday's show, we talked about how Built Bar is doing their part as well. So head on over to builtbar.com. And if you haven't yet, use the promo code LOCKEDON to save $10 off your first order. If you have done that and you want to continue to save and also help out the Black Lives Matter movement or all of the progress that we're trying to make across the country, head on over to builtbar.com and follow the links. They're spelled out right there for you to see. You can't miss them. You can save, depending on the boxes that you buy, anywhere from 15 on up to 50% off of your order. And then the proceeds of the profits are going to go to charities that support this the entire movement and all of the causes that we're talking about, we have been talking about for the last couple weeks. I can't say enough about the product itself. You have that reason to go out there and check out these great protein bars. But then on top of it, you can help out the people around you who are fighting for equality. There's just no reason not to check out BuiltBar.com. So check out BuiltBar.com. Use promo code LOCKEDON to save $10 off your first order or find any other number of ways to save on an incredible product. So Sabrina, you know, who is much better at this than I am, I told her yesterday after the show, hey, don't let me ramble so much. she brought up the fact that within NBA walls, you have some very strong cases for discrimination, right? A league that is predominantly Black is seeing fewer and fewer Black executives or executives of color in front offices. The number of Black coaches are dwindling as well, right? And in this era of analytics is kind of, you know, hiring an analytically inclined executive sounds great, but they tend to be white guys from like MIT, right?
Yeah.
And so, you know, if I'm Avery Bradley and these are the things that I really want the NBA to address, how can they be addressed, right? Those are the questions that he's asking. And how is there anything actionable that the NBA can lay down here in response to some of those things? And one of the things that I brought up was, hey, why is it that anytime analytics come up, it's only white guys from Boston that are a part of that conversation, right? Can we make analytical education more available to former players, right? Players who are trying to make the transition from playing in the NBA or even not former players and any fan, right? There is nothing about the NBA that should be exclusive, and analytics have kind of become that, right? And is there a way that the NBA can address some of that? And I really feel like if the NBA is really going to talk about, you know, inequalities elsewhere, they should probably start with the stuff that's in-house. And this is a pretty major spot where they can.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's, I suppose you have to go back to, you know, who are hiring the people in the first place, right? Like this is probably the root cause of the problem, right? Is the experiences of the owners around the league, right? And they're going to hire who they're comfortable with, and they have the power to do it, right? Like nobody can tell the owner, like, no, you shouldn't do that, right? I mean, they can tell them that, right? But that's not like an edict. Nobody can make them,
right?
And that's probably, I mean, the workarounds that typically are, you know, changing hiring practices, putting quotas in place, putting putting mechanisms in place that promote the hiring and the interviewing, the serious consideration of minority candidates. We had Troy Weaver get hired today with Detroit, which is good. And he's been very, very well regarded in Oklahoma City for several years. So that's a great thing to see. But it's going to become, you know, those decision makers up at the very top when I believe those demographics start to change, or there needs to be a real push toward it that's forced by the league, and that may be the direction we have to go in.
Yeah, I think all of these things can take place at the same time, right? The decision makers in this league have to get some kind of training to look at, like, hey, you have to in some way, shape, or form look beyond your own personal experiences, right? Question, why do you have these preferences? Why is it that when an analytically inclined executive comes up, you think white guy from MIT, right? Or whatever. And you know, when you do that and then you open up the amounts of analytical training to former players or people across all factions of society, like that's where you're going to start to see some of these changes. And, you know, to get back to Avery Bradley's point, yes, they can wear their I can't breathe shirts. And those were important in and of themselves, right? That it does send a message that, yes, we stand with you. But until the NBA really shows that they are capable of putting together actual actionable pieces of strategy here that they can put forth, they really wouldn't deserve the platform that they could potentially have. And I really think that's basically what Dwight and Avery and Kyrie's point is that we are going to have this immense platform and we are probably going to play, but how can we better utilize the platform whenever we have it? And and again, it just kind of gets back to how disappointing it's been sometimes to see them vilified for that stance. That stance isn't something that should be. To really bring this thing full circle, we mocked the idea that wearing a mask is controversial at the beginning of the show. Trying to find actionable items that the NBA can address and figure out some of its own inequalities, that shouldn't be controversial.
Right, but neither should the masks or things like that. Yeah, right? It's all part of the same insanity in a lot of ways. But this is also something where the negotiations are insulated to the point where that insanity doesn't have to seep in, you know? Mm-hmm. And they can keep that, you know, between themselves to a degree where I think that they can make viable progress on promoting these causes and raising the awareness on these causes to the degree that makes Avery Bradley that makes him feel comfortable in returning, right? And all of his very well considered points and perspectives for, like, hey, wait a second, like, he's not being unreasonable. Is there a way that we can get that everybody can get what they want?
Mm-hmm. Last thing before we send this off to the world, maybe a couple things. Mark Cuban says he would like to join the players if they were respectful and they knelt for the national anthem. The NBA still has a rule that doesn't allow players to kneel for the national anthem. Even like just practically speaking, I don't know how the anthem plays before all these games. Like, are they just going to play the national anthem in that gym 13 times over the course of all the games that are going to be played in there? And if there are games playing alongside each other, is there going to be a game going on while the national anthem plays somewhere else? Are they just going to start the day when nobody's really watching with the national anthem? Like, I don't really know. To be completely honest, I don't really know why we play the national anthem before sporting events anyway. But yeah, when you see Mark Cuban talking about how if they take a knee, I'd like to kneel alongside them, what comes to mind there? Because unfortunately for me, there's an owner in Dallas who did that same exact thing with his players. Jerry Jones did that exact same thing, and it was all a show. There's actually a clip where you can Google it, where Jerry Jones is asking for the camera to come take a picture of him kneeling. He's looking directly into the camera, looking all kinds of proud. I'm not saying Cuban is Jerry Jones. I don't think they have very much in common other than bank accounts. But you know, here again, Cuban is saying what sounds like a really cool thing, but doesn't really bring up the rule that wouldn't allow the players from doing that.
I mean, yeah, that's it, man. Like those empty kind of displays of like what you describe with Jerry Jones. It's not, this is a time where things actually have to get done. It's, yeah. If it's not now, man, it's like, when is it going to happen? And so, yeah, they need to be addressed in those types of, I don't think there's going to be a receptive audience where people say, oh, that's nice. And that has any meaning to it. I think we're past that.
Yeah. I agree completely. Let's end with a little bit of levity here.
Yes, yes.
So the NBA has their four hotels that are going to be the teams are going to be put up at, right? And they're kind of ranked in terms of the niceness of the hotel, distance from from where they're going to be playing, all that stuff. And one of them is called the Yacht Club, right? The lowest of the four hotels is called the Yacht Club. Can we rename NBA Purgatory to the Yacht Club?
That's pretty good. I like that.
Those teams that are always just kind of stuck at like that 8-0, maybe even like 6-10 range in the NBA playoffs, right? Not high enough to get a great pick, not really low enough, or not high enough to really matter in the playoff picture, not low enough to get a great pick. They're just kind of stuck on this treadmill of mediocrity. We just give them some yacht shirts and some boat shoes, right? And send them on their way, right? That sounds like a decent plan.
Yes. No, I like that. I like the Yacht Club. yes. So who would be members of the Yacht Club?
Well, Pete, it really pains me to say it, but the San Antonio Spurs have been in the Yacht Club for quite some time.
Ain't that? That sounds terrible.
It's just awful.
Hate to see it. Hate to see it from Popovich and the Spurs. That's just awful.
He even like coached the American national team and took him to the Yacht Club. All right, that's going to do it for this episode. This was, it's been an interesting couple weeks. People on Twitter are starting to. Enjoy the dynamic here between Rand Pete and Anthony Fascist Irwin. Like, it's
what is happening to the show?
But you know what? People are really sticking with the show, so I greatly, greatly appreciate that. Get your questions in the form of a 5-star review, and I will answer them on iTunes or on Monday's show for the mailbag. We will, like I said. It's like clockwork at this point. We are probably going to get a giant news dump tomorrow afternoon-ish, maybe even evening-ish. And we'll find out what new steps are being taken to make sure that the stuff Avery Bradley is talking about, Dwight Howard and Kyrie Irving are talking about, that they find some kind of actionable items that they can move forward with and make it so that this platform that the NBA is going to have whenever they do resume is actually put to productive use. So we'll find out some of that stuff, I would imagine, tomorrow. We found out about those rings that feel a lot like tracking devices. But we'll continue to see what this is all going to look like. And then we'll talk about it with you in the coming weeks as the NBA tries to get back on its feet. Have a great rest of your weekend. Stay safe out there. Make somebody else's. And we'll talk to you on Monday.